This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Just in time to celebrate the Declaration of Independence by the 13 colonies, which came together to form the USA, Congress passed and President Obama signed the Puerto Rico Oversight, Management, and Economic Stability Act, or PROMESA, which established an independent control board, or Junta de Control Fiscal, as it's locally known. It will be responsible for managing Puerto Rico's spending and debt recovery with sweeping powers to run Puerto Rico's economy. The bill was opposed by progressives, including Bernie Sanders, who said, "We are taking away virtually all of the political and democratic rights of the people of Puerto Rico. We are treating them as an absolute colony." Later on, we'll hear Senator Bernie Sanders' Senate speech opposing PROMESA. But first, we'd like to welcome Professor Rafael Bernabe, candidate for governor of Puerto Rico for the Working People's Party, professor and director of the Puerto Rico de Onis Hispanic Studies Center at the University of Puerto Rico at Rios Piedras, and who has published three books, including Puerto Rico Crisis and Alternatives. And welcome to Building Bridges.
I'm glad to be with you.
And we're glad for us to be with you, and are saddened, though, by the control board, which has been placed over the government of Puerto Rico by the Congress and the President, and we need some more details about that from you, and also how it differs from Chapter 9, which is the kinds of bankruptcy protections that the U.S. states have.
Well, yes, the PROMESA Act, which was just enacted, has several aspects to it. One of them is that the first article of this legislation very explicitly says that Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, and that it is under the plenary powers of Congress. So it just about says that Puerto Rico is a colony of the United States. And it's rather ironic that on the eve of the celebration of July 4th, which is at least officially a celebration of national independence and of the struggle against colonialism, Congress adopts legislation which explicitly asserts its colonial power over Puerto Rico. We insist that colonialism is something that is illegal in the world today. It is something that should not exist in the world, just like slavery, just like servitude. And just as you cannot say that you have a slave working in your corporation without taking immediate action to free that person, you cannot assert that you have a colony, such as Puerto Rico and such as Congress has done with this legislation. You cannot assert that you have a colony without taking immediate steps towards decolonization. So given that Congress has admitted, has affirmed that Puerto Rico is a colony of the United States, what should follow that is affirmative action by Congress to decolonize Puerto Rico. Now, besides that, what this legislation establishes is the creation of a fiscal control board. It's a board named by it's going to be named by the President of the United States, and it's going to be a 7-member board. And they do not have to be residents in Puerto Rico, or they don't have to be Puerto Rican. And this board will oversee the fiscal situation of Puerto Rico. The government of Puerto Rico is to prepare a 5-year fiscal plan that will go to the board for the board to approve it. And in the same way, the budget, the annual budget of the government of Puerto Rico will have to go to this board for them to approve this annual budget. So we have now we have sort of a unelected super government over the elected government of Puerto Rico of these 7 board members. One of the things that this board can do is to determine or to decide that part of Puerto Rico's debt should be renegotiated, and it will also be the one who supervises that process of renegotiation. The difference with Chapter 9 is that in Chapter 9, with all of its limitations, I don't want to idealize that mechanism, it would be the government of Puerto Rico that would decide which agencies and which part of the debt would go, you know, would they would declare that they wish to renegotiate it under Chapter 9. And it would be the government of Puerto Rico that would try to negotiate whichever terms it wanted to negotiate that debt. Now, this is not in the hands of the government of Puerto Rico, but in the hands of this unelected board. So we think it's a very undemocratic structure, and it's a very it's a colonial structure, and that's why we have objected to it.
Is it fair to say that it would actually manage austerity in the months and years coming up more so than is right now?
Yes, I think, although it's not written into the law, the whole logic of the legislation is that it recognizes, because it's a reality that I think that nobody can deny, that part of Puerto Rico's debt will not be paid, that the debt has to be restructured, it has to be renegotiated. But the priorities of this board will be to pay as much of the debt as possible, and that therefore to inflict as much sacrifices or further sacrifices on the Puerto Rican people in order to pay for this debt. Some of the people that have been mentioned as possible members of this board already indicate that this is what may happen. One of the persons that, whose name has been mentioned as a possible member of this board is former governor of New York, George Pataki.
Yeah, we have memories of him in New York State.
Such a person wouldn't bode well for the Puerto Rican working people, because we suspect that he would come with the same type of austerity measures, anti-social measures, anti-working class measures that he was known for in New York, and he would bring that to Puerto Rico as part of the possible member of a control board. In the same fashion, the other people who are being mentioned as possible members are former Goldman Sachs executives, former banking executives in other corporations, and so on. So the people who are being considered for this board are not representatives of unions or cooperatives or working people, but on the contrary, of the very powerful financial sectors in the U.S., which have, there are contradictions among them, because when we talk about the debt of Puerto Rico, it's really 18 debts. There are 18 government agencies that owe money to somebody. And there are contradictions among them in terms of which debt should be paid first and which debt should be renegotiated on which terms. So they, among them, among the financial sectors, among the creditors, they are vying for a position, making sure that they are duly represented in this board. But whoever comes up in that struggle, they are coming to Puerto Rico with further austerity measures that we think we have to resist.
In what way did the collapse of the economy of Puerto Rico contribute to the debt, and in what way did colonialism contribute to that?
Well, it's an important question. Perhaps the fastest way of answering is to point out a very sharp irony or a sharp contradiction in the situation of Puerto Rico, which is that there are very important U.S. Multinational corporations that operate in Puerto Rico, and they generate a tremendous amount of profit. The calculation that most economists make is between $30 and $35 billion a year in profits that these corporations generate in 1 year. And they pay very little taxes in Puerto Rico, or no taxes in Puerto Rico. So you have a situation in which the economy of Puerto Rico generates a considerable amount of profit, most of which is not reinvested in Puerto Rico. Therefore, it does not generate economic growth in Puerto Rico. It does not generate employment in Puerto Rico. It does not generate government revenue in Puerto Rico. It's a tremendous amount of profit, most of which leaves the island, and it pays very little tax. And at the same time, the government cannot pay its debt. And you can see from those two facts that for the longest time, the government of Puerto Rico has privileged these very large corporations. It has not been willing to tax them the way it should. It has, instead of doing that, run up this tremendous debt that it cannot pay now. And we think that evidently we have to renegotiate this debt, and we have to reshape the economic policies of the government of Puerto Rico. What we cannot have, because it is unfair and it would perpetuate the present economic crisis, is to have further austerity measures against the Puerto Rican people, of which we have had many in the last 10 years. For 10 years now, Puerto Rico has had a debt crisis. Many people are hearing about the debt crisis now, but it has been there for the longest time. In 2006, the government already had to close down for 2 weeks because there was no money to run the government, many government agencies. And since then, we have had many austerity measures in Puerto Rico, higher consumer taxes, consumption taxes, or sales taxes, as you call them in English, freezing government employment, reducing the health budget, the education budget, and so on and so forth. Many austerity measures, all with the objective of keeping up with payments of the existing debt. And that, you know, that cannot continue. To perpetuate that situation would be unfair, and it would be counterproductive economically. It would only perpetuate the present economic crisis. So the debt has to be renegotiated. Many of the very large financial creditors are going to have to take a loss. They should take a loss. And the Puerto Rican economy has to, the Puerto Rican government has to adopt policies that allow Puerto Rico to begin growing again. As you said, there have been many measures by Congress that has to do with the colonial situation that have affected Puerto Rico also. One of them, for example, is in 1996, the U.S. Congress eliminated a section of the U.S. Revenue Code, which was sort of an incentive for U.S. corporations to invest in Puerto Rico. Now, again, I don't want to idealize that mechanism. There were many problems with that. But it was eliminated without replacing it with anything. And that was a very big blow to the Puerto Rican economy. In the same fashion, Congress maintains the extension to Puerto Rico of the Jones Act, which is the legislation that forces Puerto Rico to have to trade with the United States. All the movements of goods from the United States to Puerto Rico have to be carried out in U.S. vessels, even if other vessels would be cheaper for that operation. That legislation, for example, doesn't apply to the Virgin Islands, which is our neighbor to the east, but it does apply to Puerto Rico. That also has, many people consider, has limited Puerto Rico's economic growth and so on. So there are many measures taken by Congress that affect Puerto Rico in which we don't have any participation. And that definitely has affected Puerto Rico's economic situation in the past decades.
And quickly, people have been talking about restrictions on Medicaid in Puerto Rico.
Yes. The Puerto Ricans contribute to Medicaid and Medicare, you know, Social Security taxes and so on, just like anybody else in the United States. With the difference that in the case of Puerto Rico, Medicare and Medicaid benefits have a cap. There's a limit to the amount of funds that Puerto Rico can receive under those programs. And that many people feel, I think they are right, they feel it is unfair that Puerto Rico should receive the same amount of funding under these programs. And that, of course, that limitation of the funds affects the health system in Puerto Rico, which is one of the systems that is very close to collapsing. It's in a very difficult situation. That's a complex story because Puerto Rico had a relatively good public health system up to the 1990s. And in the 1990s, the government adopted a policy of privatizing public health facilities. And that has led to a progressive deterioration of the health system in Puerto Rico in many ways. And it is right now in a very difficult financial situation, and it's one of the more grave manifestations of the present fiscal crisis.
And so what is the reaction of the Puerto Rican people at this point? I hear that there are demonstrations and notably an occupation outside one of the bigger federal courthouses.
Yes, there's, right now, you know, to be fair, there's a groups of people, some unions, some labor organizations, and a group of activists who have been protesting very strongly this possibility of this legislation being adopted. And now that it has been adopted, we've had several activities. One of them is an ongoing, as you said, sort of Occupy-type activity in which activists have taken over the front gate of the federal building in Puerto Rico, which houses the federal courts. It also houses the offices of other federal agencies, the central offices of federal agencies in Puerto Rico. They have been there since last Thursday, if I'm not wrong. And so far, the federal authorities have not removed them. But, you know, that may happen any moment now. and they are carrying out an activity of civil disobedience, let us say, and they, in front of the building, there have been many, there are many activities, you know, artistic activities, performances, speeches, presentations, and so on and so forth, and that has become a sort of a place where many people who are opposed to this legislation have gathered. I would say that this is only, of course, the first chapter. The board has not been named yet. Once it is named and once it begins to take decisions which negatively affect people in Puerto Rico, there will be other mobilizations and activities and so on and so forth. There are other sectors of the population that are more, you know, in a kind of observing, expecting, watching to see what will happen. And we'll see.
And Rafael, very quickly, but perhaps most importantly, I know Senator Sanders put in for legislation for reconstruction money for Puerto Rico so that the economy can be revived. And I know that's something that you want also.
Sure, yes, yes. Senator Sanders presented legislation which is infinitely better than this legislation that was approved. You know, I may have some specific criticisms. I will mention one or two in a minute. But in general terms, the legislation allows Puerto Rico to carry out a audit of its debt, so that the portion of the debt which is demonstrated to be illegal or unconstitutional is put aside, is annulled. In the same fashion, it allows the government of Puerto Rico to renegotiate that part of the debt which is legitimate in order to significantly reduce debt payments to a level which allows Puerto Rico to begin again its economic growth. And it establishes all sorts of extending different programs, for example, for infrastructure growth, programs, some of them which exist already, for infrastructure, for renewal of renewable energy, and so on and so forth, funds that would come to Puerto Rico and could be used for promoting economic development in Puerto Rico. It also allows for this, the carrying out of a referendum in order for Puerto Rico to be able to finally determine what kind of relationship it wants to have with the United States, a process sanctioned by Congress, which is what we have not had in the recent past. So in general terms, the legislation presented by Senator Sanders, it's a great step forward compared to what was approved. Unfortunately, it wasn't. It wasn't what was enacted. You know, you could argue, and I would argue, that it would be better to, instead of having many, many different federal programs sending money to Puerto Rico, to have a block grant of federal funds, which would be used in a more planned way in terms of Puerto Rico's own needs and so on and so forth. There are many technical aspects of this legislation that I think could be improved. But in general terms, yes, it would be a much better legislation than the one that was enacted by Congress.
Well, thank you so much. I wish we had more time, but we will have you on again, and hopefully we will also hear more protests. I know you have a lot right now, but more, and also more legislation in Congress, hopefully, to really solve the problems of Puerto Rico. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. We've been talking to Professor Rafael Bernabe, candidate for governor of Puerto Rico for the Working People's Party, on the question of the Puerto Rican Oversight, Management, and Economic Stability Act, or PROMESA, which other people just solidify into one word, a new junta for Puerto Rico. Now Senator Bernie Sanders from the floor of the U.S. Senate opposing PROMESA.
I rise in very strong opposition to the Puerto Rico Oversight, Management, and Economic Stability Act, the so-called PROMESA Act, a terrible piece of legislation and must not be passed. The United States should not treat Puerto Rico as a colony. We cannot and must not take away the democratic rights of the 3.5 million Americans of Puerto Rico and give virtually all power on that island to a 7-member board which will be dominated by 4 Republicans. This legislation strips away the most important powers of the democratically elected officials of Puerto Rico, the governor, the legislature, and the municipal governments as well. We must not allow that to happen. This is not what the United States of America is supposed to be about, and this is not how we should treat a territory in the year 2016. Bottom line is that the United States must not become a colonial master, which is precisely what this legislation allows. Any decisions that are made regarding the future of Puerto Rico must be made by the people of that island and their elected officials. But this legislation is not just about taking away the democratic rights of the people of Puerto Rico. It is about punishing them economically. Since 2006, Puerto Rico has been in the midst of a major economic depression. In the last 10 years, Puerto Rico has lost 20% of its jobs. About 60% of Puerto Rico's adult population are either unemployed or have given up looking for work. Over the last 5 years alone, more than 150 public schools have been shut down, and the childhood poverty rate in Puerto Rico is now 58%. There is a mass migration out of Puerto Rico to the mainland of professionals because there is simply no work on the island. In the midst of this human suffering and economic turmoil, it is morally repugnant that billionaire hedge fund managers on Wall Street are demanding that Puerto Rico fire teachers, close schools, cut pensions, and lower the minimum wage so that they can reap huge profits off the suffering and misery of the American citizens on that island. We have got to understand that Puerto Rico's $70 billion in debt is unsustainable and unpayable. You cannot get blood out of a stone. And the reason, or one of the major reasons, that it is unpayable has a lot to do with the greed of Wall Street vulture funds. In recent years, vulture funds have purchased a significant amount of Puerto Rico's debt. In fact, it has been estimated that over one-third of Puerto Rico's debt is now owned by these vulture funds, who are getting interest rates of up to 34% on tax-exempt bonds that they purchased for as little as 29 cents on the dollar. Let us be clear. This issue is a significant part of what the entire debate regarding Puerto Rico is about. Billionaire hedge fund managers who purchased Puerto Rican bonds for pennies on the dollar now want a 100% return on their investment. While schools are being shut down in Puerto Rico, while pensions are being threatened with cuts, while children on the island go hungry. That is morally unacceptable. That should not be allowed by the United States Congress. It is bad enough for Republicans in the House to write legislation that takes away the democratic rights of U.S. citizens living in Puerto Rico. But adding insult to injury, this legislation does something even more insulting. At a time when health, education, and nutrition programs will likely be cut, this legislation, if you can believe it, requires the taxpayers of Puerto Rico to pay for the Financial Control Board at the unbelievable sum of $370 million in order to fund the control board's bureaucracy. So think about it for a second. The control board will likely cut programs for the elderly, the children, the sick, and the poor in an island where 58% of the children are already living in poverty because Puerto Rico does not have enough money to take care of its most vulnerable people. And in the midst of all that, $370 million are going to be sucked away from Puerto Rico in order to pay for the administration of the Financial Control Board. This is literally beyond belief. Puerto Rico must be given the time it needs to grow its economy, to create jobs, to reduce its poverty rate, and to expand its tax base so that it can pay back its debt in a way that is fair and is just. In my view, we need austerity not for the people of Puerto Rico, but for the billionaire Wall Street hedge fund managers who have exacerbated the financial crisis on the island. We must tell them loudly and clearly that they cannot get everything they want. While workers in Puerto Rico are fired, while schools are shut down, while health care is underfunded, and while children in that island live in poverty. If allowed, I will offer an amendment in the form of legislation that I have introduced, legislation which would allow Puerto Rico's debt to be structured through the creation of a Reconstruction Finance Corporation. Let us never forget that in 2008, when Wall Street's greed, recklessness, and illegal behavior nearly destroyed our economy, the Federal Reserve provided $16 trillion in virtually zero interest loans to every major financial institution in this country, as well as central banks and corporations throughout the world. Well, if the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department could move quickly to stabilize our economy and global markets in 2008, we can surely help the 3.5 million American citizens in Puerto Rico who are hurting today. The Fed can and should provide low-interest loans to Puerto Rico and facilitate an orderly restructuring of Puerto Rico's debt. This legislation is both a political and economic disaster for the people of Puerto Rico. This legislation takes away their democratic rights and self-governance and will impose harsh austerity measures which will make the poorest people in Puerto Rico even poorer. This is legislation that should not be passed by the United States Congress.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.